believe it, we experience it. How many of you guys are blessed by stepping into the river this morning a little bit? I was. It was like good, almost too good, because when it's too good, I usually can't get my thoughts back together to preach. And so, you know, there's been a problem in our world for a long time. Our world, us. Not talking about past history. I'm talking about in the future. I mean, our experience here, most of us are Westerners. We've lived, we've grown up in the United States. And there's a problem we've seen. There's no difference between Christians and non-Christians to speak of. The addictions, the tragedy, the drama that goes on inside of Christians' lives is about the same as it is in non-Christians' lives. The power of God working in their lives. We don't see much difference in economics, in the business world, in the sports world, in the scientific realm. In every realm, it's about the same. And that's a real problem. You know, throughout history, for the last, at least 30 years, people who have a massive, massive, amazing fruit and harvest in their lives that are bigwig Christians, unfortunately, we find out that they have the same problems everybody else has. And that's been a little unexplainable, but I believe that God has a better plan than that, and that His plan is growing, and it's growing in the world. It's advancing. And that I believe there's a place in the world where when you follow Christ, you have an advantage over people who don't follow Christ. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life that gives you wisdom, perseverance, patience, discipline, self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit comes through your relationship with following Jesus. I believe that what's happening is we're having a new definition, I don't even like those words. What would I say? There's another revelation coming of how to have a relationship with Jesus that will put us in a deeper connection with Him that will produce better results. Amen. Listen, I need more. Amen. When I got in the river this morning, it wasn't because I had enough. No, I needed something more. Physically, I need more. And He really is the answer. And so today, I've been messing around with getting to this for a long time. And I can't believe I was sick all week. And I'm like, God, this is so weird. But I'm so tired of sitting down that I just am sore all over my body just from sitting, you know. But the truth is, God said, Alan, this is important, what you're saying Sunday. And I know it's just the tip of an iceberg, but I believe it's important. You see, our mission is to lead people to become followers of Jesus. I believe that God's narrowing that focus for us. I think it's a big thing. I think it's the reason we're going to see things change in the future from what we've experienced in the last 50 years, or some of us 83 years, like Harvey, or Marceline, 90 years. We're going to see something different. And all the glory, all the honor, all the praise goes to the King. It's Him. It's Him. This is His plan since before the foundation of the world. So here's the question. If our mission is to lead people to become followers of Jesus, how do you become a follower of Jesus? I think we've all had a pretty clear idea of that in our head. I believe that what God's revealing is another step in that, really. It's a deeper intimacy and union with Him. How do you become a follower of Jesus? Great question. Well, you believe the shame-free gospel. And I differentiate this from my mind and my life. I was brought to the Lord on a gospel that was basically based on fear of punishment and shame for who I was. And I believe that what we're seeing now is it's more than that. It's more than that. You know, you can't live your best life without Jesus. You cannot resist the devil without Jesus. And you cannot walk in the supernatural that God has put inside of us. All of us have a desire for. You can't walk in the supernatural without Jesus. So you can live without Him. I think you can go to heaven even. But you won't experience life here on earth in the supernatural life God intended for us. He wants us to walk in wisdom. He wants us to walk in a greater anointing, a strength, physically in a different place, all because of Him. And He's the key. And so how do you do that? Here's how you become a follower of Jesus. You believe the shame-free gospel, that's important. What is that? And the other thing is you live in union with Him. That's it. You're geniuses now. Well, we've always known that. No, we haven't. Because God gives revelation. Man doesn't come up with this stuff. It's from the Lord. And so I want to talk today about what is that? What is the shame-free gospel? You see, I believe that the Bible, the biblical narrative, speaks of the gospel from the very beginning, from before the world was created. Everything on earth and in heaven proclaims the gospel. And every scripture proclaims the gospel. And so you can see it everywhere. So I want to talk about that today. I want to share this with you. And I know all of you already know Jesus. But the truth is, do you trust Him? That exercise we went through in worship. Trust fall time. What do you trust for your future? What do you trust for the welfare of your children? What do you trust for the government of the United States and the world? What do you trust? Well, it's trust fall time for the body of Christ, which is hard. Trust falls are hard. We could do one, but it would be a joke because I was thinking just forget I even said that. What if believing the shame-free gospel and walking in union with Jesus is the key? If that's what it is, what is the shame-free gospel? Honest question. Well, and you're saying it may be more than what I know. Yeah, I think it may be. And what you put your faith in determines what you trust in. What you trust in is what you believe in. And what you believe in is what you walk in. Do you really believe that you and Jesus are enough? That's God's plan? You say, well, that's a lousy plan, God. If you know me, you know my failures, you know my inadequacies, you know I'm powerless. He's like, why do you think I came? I know. I know you can't resist the devil, but me and you can. Me in you can. Holy Spirit and you can. Well, I don't have enough wisdom. All I know is what I know in my little pea brain. God said, yeah, I know. That's why I sent Holy Spirit. Well, I can't heal anybody. Right. You can't even keep yourself well. But I sent Holy Spirit. You and Holy Spirit can heal anybody. You and Holy Spirit are enough for any situation, any problem, well, y'all haven't fixed everything on earth yet. Well, we haven't all given ourselves to Him yet. We're still trying to do it on our own. Good things on our own. And we expect a supernatural harvest. No, you were created to walk on water, to ascend into the heavens. You were created to sit and talk with angels and determine the outcome of this world. That's who you are. Do you believe that? Shoot, I don't even believe I'm good enough to preach. And then something happens, and the Holy Spirit said, Alan, you give you to me, and it'll be amazing what I do. I'm like, oh, I can do that. I can faith fall. And it's faith falling all the time, right? So, I want to go through this with you guys. I want to show you real clear as I can, what it is. How do you lead someone to Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus? Shame-free gospel. You've got to share it with them. You have to communicate with them. The Bible says, preach the gospel in all the world. It doesn't mean preaching like up on a stage. It means sharing with intention. I care for you, and I want you to know the truth. And I'm sharing this information with you so you can know God. And that's what preaching is. You can share this information with your friends and your family. This is what I believe the gospel is, okay? Shame-free gospel. First point. God loved us even after we became slaves to the devil. God loved us before the creation of the world. He loves us now, and He'll love us forever. He never stops loving us. Number one foundation of the shame-free gospel is not, He's not angry with you. He loves you. He's angry with the devil because what the devil does to his adoptive children, He loves you. So number one point, and you know, even after we became slaves, well, you know what happened in the garden, right? When Adam and Eve, they were deceived. Eve was deceived by Satan. You know what Satan said? Satan said, oh, Eve, and you can do this on your own. Here's what you'd have to do to do it on your own. And she did it. And she became a slave to darkness. That's the truth. And not only did humanity become God, the devil's slave, the world, they gave up dominion of the world that God gave to us. We gave it away in our ancestors. Now, so that's why I say it that way. The devil, whenever we thought we could do it without Jesus, the devil took control because we can't resist the devil without Jesus. So he took control, and it's just true. Well, I thought we became bad in the garden. That isn't what Scripture says. We became slaves. We became slaves. We were Eve was deceived. Y'all know what being deceived means? You believed a lie. That's what it says. And I've got all kinds of verses for this. We're not going to go through them today because I don't want to. I think I've tried to follow the Holy Spirit. So this won't last for 5 hours. So what the devil did, right? He took Adam and Eve captive. Now, when you're a slave, you're doing whatever your slave master says. He was the Lord of Adam and Eve at that point. And guess what? Jesus had already decided before the world was created, the Bible says, Jesus decided He would pay the ransom for our debt. We sold ourselves into slavery. Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt to get us. He redeemed us is the word. And we'll look at that in Ephesians 1. He redeemed us. He paid the ransom the devil demanded. And when Jesus did that, He set humanity free for all eternity. It was done. Satan didn't realize what he was doing. So at that point, you're free now. Every one of us are free. Before Jesus died on the cross, humanity wasn't free. They were being controlled by the devil. It was just the grace of God that kept the world alive. His grace didn't allow the enemy to destroy us all. But Jesus died. He paid our debt. Satan set us free. And from that point on, we've been free to choose our source of life. You are. There's not a one of us who aren't free to choose because of the power of what Jesus did. You get to choose. Over 2,000 years, we've been free to choose. And you and I are free to choose today. Now, you have two choices. There's two choices. There's all there is two. One, you can live by faith through your union with Jesus. He's my source of life. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to live with Him. I'm going to submit every thought, every decision, every moment of my life. I want to live in union with Jesus. In that constant place of fellowship, and it's love. It's everything you ever dreamed. Or I can live on my own. Y'all know what that means, right? By my own wisdom, by the advertisements I see on television. Isn't that the stupidest thing in the world? But we all do, you know. I can live by peer pressure. I can live by my thought, my intelligence. It's all one thing. You can either live your life through faith with Jesus, or you can live your life making all your own decisions and thoughts, whatever they are. That's all there is. Now, the Bible calls that living on our own a self-life. In the New Testament, they use the term sarx, flesh. It means independent life. Well, Alan, you mean that I can't have a good life if I don't follow Jesus? Sorry. You can't. you'll never experience the power that God wants you to know. And you can't resist the devil. I'm sorry. Jesus died so that we can. And today, when you see failures in our lives, in each other's lives, and other Christians' lives, it's becoming because there's some place where they're just not in, they're not hooked up to the voltage. They're not hooked up to the power source. There are places where they're living in their own way. Yeah, but I'm an independent person. Oh, God love you. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I'm fiercely independent. I know that. I know that feeling. God gets me, and I thought of all sorts of inappropriate things I can't say. Let me think of something I can say. It puts you between a rock and a hard place. When you're independent, you are not going to experience the love of God, which is the grace of God, which is the power of God. You know what? He doesn't want us to live like mere humans. And the problem with being a mere human is you're susceptible and unable to stop the devil's activity because he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. And it's the grace of God that kept us all alive, probably everyone in this room, hundreds of times when we were there. God won't let him. He loves us. He's never not loved you. At your most independent, rebellious self, he loves you as much as he loves his own son, Jesus. The same intensity and the same passion he has for Jesus Christ, he has for every one of us. I don't care who you are, what you've done. Like you haven't done anything bad compared to, I don't know why, I'm not going to say his name. He was on the worship stage this morning with checkered shirt on, red. Patrick, I couldn't think of your name, Patrick. You haven't done anything, compared to Patrick, shoot. And did y'all feel the anointing of God when he was leading worship this morning? It's like, isn't that amazing? God can anoint a sleaze, no. But he's not. That's all God can anoint is us. Patrick just did a faith fall this morning on stage, and we got to experience the power of God working through their lives, the whole worship team. You know, do you want Jesus to use you? Start living in union with him. Is that it? That's all. Yeah, but you got a computer with every Bible translation in the history of the world in it. Yeah, but that doesn't do anything for me. Confuses me a lot. But the anointing comes from my falling with him. I fall in love and I faith fall. Same thing. So you know what? Jesus does that. So we are free to choose. That's what Jesus died, to set us free so that we could be with him or not. It's true. Okay, that's the shame-free gospel. We, in union with Jesus, we can resist the devil. The darkness is real, and it has a purpose. It's focused to destroy us. Because of that, we can live in union with Jesus. We can walk in supernatural power. Amen. I mean, Harvey and Lisa just got back from Guatemala, and that's a question the Christians down there have. How are y'all able to do this? What about miracles? Blind eyes could see, all kinds of physical healings, hundreds coming to the Lord. They're like, how do y'all do this? We're Christians and we don't do this. And Lisa and Harvey tell them the same thing. It's because we live a life in union with Jesus. We want to be with him. And when that happens, we can pray for the sick and they get healed. When that happens, we can stand and proclaim the truth and people believe us. You see, it's not because of them, it's because of them and Jesus. Quit saying less of me and more of him. No, more of you, more of him. It's God's plan. God's plan included flesh. Jesus gave his flesh to his Father, and we experienced the life that started 2,000 years ago, still today. When you give your flesh to God, the same thing happens. The shame-free gospel, that's what it is. Here's the last point of the shame-free gospel. So simple. The harvest of the source of life we choose will bring us to Jesus. See, Jesus set us free. Not to be zombies, not to be robots. He set us free to choose our source of life. Are you going to live life alone, or are you going to live life with him? The problem is when we do it alone, we're doing it with the devil. And he puts hooks in us, and he's trying to destroy us as fast as he can. Or we can choose to trust Jesus and live with him. And his seed is unstoppable. The harvest is what comes from the seed we choose. We choose a seed 100 times a day. Every day. We choose a seed every day. So I want to look at a passage that'll show this. Okay, that's it. Did y'all get it? I want to see that deal again. The shame-free gospel. Here's how you proclaim the gospel. Here's how you lead someone to become a follower of Jesus. You tell them the gospel. The gospel is God loves them. He's always loved them, even when they were slaves to the devil. He always has loved you. He loves you, and he will always love you. That's the foundation of the gospel. Jesus' death paid the ransom to the devil to set us free so we can choose our source of life. Every human on earth gets to choose because Jesus died, and his death was powerful. So every day, we get to choose our source of life. If we live by faith with Jesus, we have his life. If we live on our own, we have another life, which is not life at all. Isn't that simple? That's all you have to do. In union with Jesus, you can resist the devil, who's real. In union with Jesus, you can walk in supernatural power that you do not have on your own. That's true too. You know, I was reading. I didn't notice this. You know, they got Jennifer Hughes and somebody else got Camille to draw these pictures. And I didn't notice the title of this one. This is the Eye of the Storm. That's the title of that picture. Is because it doesn't matter what storm you're in. If you've got the Spirit of God with you, the storm doesn't control you. You can be as innocent and as gentle as a dove, and you'll fly right through every storm. Well, how could you be happy where you're at? You're in denial. No, I'm in something, but it ain't denial. It's him. It's all Jesus. You can be happy when you're sick. Yeah. You can be happy when you're a storm. Yeah. You can have joy. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1. So that's the shame-free gospel. And then don't get this. I could spend a month on this. The harvest is what brings us to Jesus. The harvest of being in union with him will bring you farther into relationship with him. The harvest of doing things on your own will bring you back into union with him. And that harvest isn't good. It hurts. It's from the darkness. You see, there's always a harvest. Isn't God good? And the devil wants to tell you there's not. He wants to lift people up to have whatever it is you think makes them happy. And so, this is what'll make you happy. Controlling people, that'll make you happy. Education, that'll make you happy. Money, make you happy. Power will make you happy. No. Nah. Him. You may get fleeting happiness, but you won't have joy. You see, that's the gospel. That's how simple the gospel is. Yeah, but what do we have to repent of? You do have to repent. Yeah, repentance means metanoia. It's changing your mind. I used to think me doing things my way would make me happy. Now I know me being in union with Jesus who died to set me free, that's where life is. Yeah, so I repent of believing that. I don't believe that's true anymore. I believe Jesus is true. Come follow me. That's what he said. Come follow me. Come follow me. And those 11 guys who followed him changed the world. Jesus says the same thing to us. Come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. You won't just be you. You will begin to proclaim the gospel. So, very simple, right? So Ephesians chapter 1, I just want to go over a couple verses and I'm going to let you guys go because we could spend a long time on this. We really could. Paul said that Ephesians is really, all of Paul's letters except for Ephesians were written to specific churches that had problems. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed that. It's like daddy or mama writing a letter to their kid, you know, off in another town or in college or whatever, and saying, okay, I know that you're robbing banks. It's probably not a good idea, and, you know, whatever. Paul wrote letters like that. He was addressing problems. In Ephesians, he wasn't addressing problems. He laid out the most eloquent, beautiful explanation of how to become a follower of Christ in the Scripture. And that's what Ephesians is about. It's the deepest, I don't even know, it's so spiritually deep, it's crazy. He says in Ephesians 1:1, my name's Paul. I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers. You notice he says believer over and over and over and over again in Ephesians. If you go through there, Mark, every time he says believer. And you know why? Because everything is done by faith in the kingdom of God. It's faith, believing. Do you believe following Jesus? Will you trust him with your life, your future, your hope, your destiny, your eternity, your children? That Jesus really is the way. That's believers. He said, believers who've been made holy by being one with Jesus. That's another thing he says over and over again. Union with Jesus, one with Jesus. Everything depends upon Jesus. Well, isn't there any other way besides Jesus? No, I'm sorry. I don't even wish there was, because why would you want any other way? He loves you. He doesn't care if you're smart, not so smart, if you're experience, no experience. He doesn't. He loves you. Yeah, but he loves you. I've never even talked to him before. He still loves you. I hate him. Sorry, he loves you. You just can't get over it. You can't get past it. You can't get around it. You can't argue with it. He loves you. And that's a theme in Ephesians all the way. May God himself, the heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release his grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. It's all grace. And that word peace, some versions translate that word peace into your lives. But peace in the Greek, peace meant everything good. God wants to bring everything in your life is good. No more drama. No more addictions. No more ridiculous physical issues. He wants shalom, peace, to come in us. And that's God's plan. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. He sees us in union with Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Now, what is Paul lying? Are the scriptures lying? Is Ephesians 1 lying? He's already given us every gift, every blessing. It's already here. Well, Paul, you're going to prison. You've been beaten. They tried to kill you 3 times, and you're going to die. They're going to take your head. I think they cut his head off, I think. Paul, that doesn't look like a spiritual blessing. Paul said, oh, you guys think I live, my life is actually controlled by this physical world? I'm way beyond that. I live somewhere this world doesn't touch, ever. See, wouldn't you like to be there? Where you could put your arm around somebody who just had lost a child, and you can comfort them because you walk in a comfort that's beyond what's happening right now. And you can give them hope. See, Paul lived there, and he said, we've been living there too. But guess what it takes? Faith. Do you believe he's good? Like Pastor Tim said, do you believe he's good before that happens? Even when things aren't going good, when you're sick, when you're hurting, when you are going around this wall for the mountain for the 10th time, do you still believe he's good? That's faith. That's how you live. If you want to be a follower of Christ, live by faith. And he chose us, listen to this, he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Before anything was created, God said, I want my purposes to be one with these men and women, these children. I want to be one with them. For that to happen, they have to be free. And when they're free, they're going to get in bondage to the devil. And Jesus, somebody's got to pay the ransom to get them to get so the devil will set them free. And Jesus said, I volunteer. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, it says in Revelations. Before anything ever happened, Jesus said, I will trust you, Dad. I trust you. I'll pay the price to set them free from their independence, from their self-life. And he did it. He did it. Because of his great love, right? It's because of his great love he ordained us, so that we could be seen as holy in his eyes. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One. You see, God has a plan to bring life to this planet. This is his plan. You're his plan. It's a people who choose to believe the shame-free gospel and to live in union with Christ is going to change the world. There. You mean that's it? Yeah. God's plans, just like atomic bombs, it's very simple but unbelievably powerful. See, the question is, do you believe? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that he's always loved you? Do you believe that you're not bad? You were a slave. And Jesus died to pay the ransom to get to see you freed, to redeem you. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. I do. I believe that. Okay, now will you live the rest of your life in union with him? Believe the gospel, live in union with Jesus, and you'll see the world changed. He said, that's what he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, we didn't really understand the gospel. We thought we were bad. We thought we needed to be ashamed. That was the lie that Satan told Eve. Eve, you can become like God by doing something. And Eve was already like God. She believed a lie, and Satan became her master. Our Savior knew we were going to do that, and he still set us free. And now we get to bring life, the kingdom of heaven back to earth as we believe his good. Do you believe God loves you? Really? Have you been trying to live life on your own? It's time to change your mind. You need to repent. Quit living on your own. Well, but I've been doing it my whole life. Well, so have all of us. You got to start somewhere. It'd be a good place right now. Start today. God, I want to do this with you. I am not. I reject that. I repent of that. And I choose to live in union with you the rest of my life. Jesus, you're everything. You're everything. You're everything. Jesus, you're everything. Yeah, but there's all these things in my mind that are competing with him. I know. Stay focused. Jesus, you're everything. Yeah, but what about everything? Do you want to become a follower of Christ? There's only one way. It's the only way. Believe that God's good. He loves you. He loves you. And he sets you free. Now will you follow him? It's already been done. Now you determine how much of his life you experience here on earth. So, to live the abundant life that Jesus talks about, In Ephesians 1, to live that depends upon those two things. Will you believe the shame-free gospel and you live in union with him? Is that what you do? How are you doing? How are you doing?
Are there areas in your life where you're still not living in union with Him, where you're doing it your way? You might want to repent and go with Him. Are there areas in your life where you don't have the power of God that you want to have, that you know God has for you? Ask Him why. Maybe you're not abiding in the vine. Maybe there's areas where you still are doing it your way. Jesus wants to bring salvation to you and to us and to this city. Let's do it together. Jesus couldn't do it without us. You know, it was His plan. We are His plan. He didn't want to do it without us. He wanted to be in us. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, become a follower of Jesus. And you'll experience stuff that you can't experience without Him. 100% guaranteed. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the 2 billion people on earth who are now followers of Jesus. There's a lot of us. And there's a new wave coming of His life in the world that we've never experienced, I believe. I really do. So it's good. Hey, Peter Baker, let's all stand up. So let's just stand in His presence for a second. Just close your eyes and open your heart and your mind. Open up to Him right now. Jesus, we need You. We all need You, God. God, we need Your strength. We need Your wisdom. God, we need Your ideas. We need Your hope. God, we need Your faith so that, God, we just ask for the faith to trust You in areas and ways we've never even dreamed of. So we have ministry teams up here that if you're struggling in some area of your life, if you're struggling with trusting, you're struggling with that decision, do I really want to give it all to Him? Do I want to trust Jesus with my future? Do I want to trust Him with my past? Can you trust Jesus with the decisions you're making, with your family? Jesus is inviting you to come to Him this morning. He wants you to come to Him. He will not leave you alone. He'll always be there for you. So if you're struggling with a physical problem or an emotional problem with pain, these guys are up here and they want to pray with you. So if Jesus is calling you to something deeper than where you're at right now, you know He's calling you, then I just want you to slip out from where you are and come up here and allow these guys to pray with you. So we're just going to wait for a minute. So if Jesus is calling you to make a trust fall today, I'm just inviting you to come. Come and trust Him. Come on, King. There's an old hymn that's really good. Jesus is tenderly calling. That he really is. He's calling you home. He is home. Maybe you need a home. You need a foundation in your life you've never had. And he's offering you his life right now. He's offering himself to you. So if you feel him calling you home right now, just take that step out. Everyone here is for you. We're for each other. We're all desperately needing Jesus. You're not the only one. But this is for you. So if you want to come home, come on home. Come on up here. Somebody will meet you and they'll pray with you. God, I just thank you for a life. Jesus, that you really are our source of life. And God, I just ask that you would free our minds from the things that keep us away from you. God, I just thank you that you've overcome the devil. You've overcome the darkness. You've overcome our past. God, I just thank you for everything you've done. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. They're going to be up here praying. If you want still to pray, somebody to pray with you, there'll still be people up here. Remember, next week is socks, the last Sunday of the month. Cash, we're giving cash. So bring your cash and we'll make an offering to House of Faith for Women. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Enjoy the day.